welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Capital City Cavaliers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McAravey of the News Tribune. And before Kyle and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Kyle's conversation with Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier.
Well, Coach, you've had a chance to look back at the tape from Rockbridge. Does anything new kind of jump out to you about how that game went?
Nothing new, just missed opportunities. We chalk it up to missed opportunities. I thought we played really good football at times with a really good team, and then we made mistakes that we couldn't against a team that's pretty good. For the most part, I thought that, you know, it's good to see we are who we are at the end of the day. We're a good football team that can be in, you know, good football games with good football teams. It just, the unfortunate thing is, it didn't go our way that night.
You know, that first loss of the season, especially after you rack up a couple of wins, can kind of knock a team's momentum off track, right? Mm-hmm. How's practice been going this week as you guys try to get back in the win column and get that moving in the right direction again?
Well, when you watch film and you see, hey, you know, that wasn't that guy's better than me. That was a mental flaw. And kind of helped them see what I was talking about the first 2 weeks. I mean, the first couple weeks. I mean, you know, even you alluded to after the game that, you know, what's the difference between the games you win and you was kind of like a little bit downbeat and then you're upbeat for, you know, a game that you actually lost. And it was good that I was able to say, see, this is why we need to pay attention to the little things. But at the same time, you know, it wasn't a disaster. You know what I mean? It was like, okay, if we just tweak this, we on our way. So,
I figure with Jeff City coming in, mm-hmm. a little bit of extra hype from the guys coming into this week, I would expect. So, you know, looking ahead, got a little bit different of a Jeff City team than you've seen the last couple of years, especially on offense. Mm-hmm. You know, just how's the prep been going as you're getting ready to bring the Jays here this week?
Well, as you watch film, you can tell that they was trying to figure it out early in the season, and they're getting better and better each week, and that's something to pay attention to. So, although they've had some losses this year, they've had some success, and last week they're coming off a win, so they feel like they're starting to figure it out. If you're coming off a win, you're trying to figure it out. So I think they're thinking they're trying to figure it out, and we need a momentum boost.
All right, that was Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier, and Kyle, for the first time this season, you got to see a Cavaliers loss. So a little bit tough, 25-13 at Rockbridge last week. What was the difference, maybe, or was there a few differences that made the difference in that final result?
Defensively for Capital City, they gave up three pretty big pass plays, you know, the explosive plays. That was kind of the difference there.
Okay.
And offensively, you know, it ended up being a two-score game, but Capital City had it within a score late a couple of times, or had a couple of chances within a score late and just wasn't quite able to capitalize on the opportunities. So, you know, Rockbridge's game plan defensively worked out real well when it needed to. It was able to stop Capital City late. And then, yeah, those Rockbridge receivers are just really, really fast.
Right.
It's crazy what they're able to do with the ball in their hands.
So going back a little bit, was there anything in particular defensively that they did that was able to kind of disrupt things? I mean, was it a matter of, you know, they could take Jalen Thomas away? Is it a matter of they did this instead? Did they do a matter of this and that? What was it exactly that kind of, you know, I mean, we've been used to seeing the Cavaliers scoring in the 40s. You know, 13 was a very kind of total I was not expecting to see.
They did do a pretty good job of containing Jalen. For the most part, no real big broken runs from him last week.
Okay.
A lot of it was pressure.
Okay.
The Cavaliers, you know, as they have been recently, wanted to throw the ball a little bit more, and Rockbridge was able to kind of work its way into the backfield a number of times, especially in important situations.
Sure.
There were, you know, there was a drive tie game in the second half where, you know, Capital City almost connects on a deep pass that would have got him in the red zone. The pass falls. You know, they get an extra 15, 20 yards on the drive, but then two sacks and three plays kind of pushes you out of field goal range, end up having to punt. And then late in the game, down a score, Capital City's driving, gets in the red zone, and then has to go for it on fourth and two or three, I think, and tried to go outside. And, you know, pressure just got into the backfield.
Okay.
That was a hit on Evan Schaefer that ends up knocking him out of the rest of the game. And, you know, I don't want to harp on backup quarterbacks coming in and not, you know, looking as good as the starter.
Sure.
Right? Because they just
don't. You expect that.
Yeah, they just don't have the same reps.
Right.
So when you're having 2 to 3 drives at the end of the game, which still had their opportunities, still had a couple of plays that worked pretty well with the backups in, but, you know, it just didn't look efficient enough to take advantage of the opportunities.
It doesn't usually seem like those things happen at opportune times. They seem like they happen at the most inopportune times, where you go, let's see, when's the worst time we could possibly bring in a reserve quarterback? Well, maybe late in crunch time. You know, that would be, if you were Cap City, you're like, we couldn't have picked a worse time for that to probably have it happen.
Yeah, I mean, that fourth down play that knocks Schaefer out, he was keeping it, trying to go around the outside. Two plays later, you know, Rockbridge breaks off a 30-yard run on the first play of the next drive, and you're thinking, oh no, Rockbridge is up 6 or 7 at that point. And then throws an interception, which I think it was Brady Davidson's, like, second of the season.
Right.
So, you know, Capital City now gets the interception, has another opportunity, still down one score, 6 or 7, but now you're bringing in the backups, or the backup quarterback specifically. And, you know, Caleb Terry did have a couple of plays where they looked pretty good. I think there were back-to-back, it was either 13 or 16-yard plays between him and Jalen on a couple of runs that they were both able to just create something out of absolutely nothing.
Okay.
The one that Jalen had was the second play, and it was, you know, trying to run outside left, nothing there. He cut all the way back to the right behind a Caleb Terry block and ended up getting 13 or 16 yards on it. And so they're kind of moving, and then pressure stalled out again.
Yeah.
And, you know, it fell apart after that.
Yeah. So I guess the point is they need to get refocused. I mean, it's the first time they've had to do that this year, where you go, okay, we're coming off a loss, we've got to get ready to go. I don't think it's going to be hard this week, because it's Jeff Seti week. So, you know, the good thing is yes, the loss drops you to 3-1 overall and 2-1 in the CMAC, but this is now time for you to get right. So I guess the first thing that we have to address then is, okay, the Schaefer situation, because as you say, you know, this is something where you want to have all hands on deck going into this game, but what's the likelihood of that tonight?
Officially, he's day-to-day. He was practicing when I was there.
Okay.
And has apparently been kind of practicing on and off this week. There's been days that were a little better, days that weren't quite as good.
Okay.
So they're taking it easy with him, trying to just work his way back. I would expect they're going to have him go if he's at all capable.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would expect we'll see him Friday night.
Yeah.
Tonight.
So the Jays come into this contest at 2-2 overall and 1-2 in the CMAC. I think, you know, it's been an up and down. You know, I think it loss, win for the Jays this year. But I think it's maybe the win last week that is maybe the most confusing to some people like myself, where you look at it and go, only beat Sedalia Smith-Cotton last week 35-28. So that's one of those you go, okay, well, I don't know what that means exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I want to see another game from them to try to figure out, okay, what are they exactly this year?
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of that thing with Smith-Cotton the last couple of years. Every year they're a little bit better. So is that, you know, a step up from Smith-Cotton?
Right.
Or is that a step back from Jeff Seti, like we've seen, you know, against Camdenton and earlier games? I'm, you know, the way Coach Collier was describing it when he's watching it on film, it is, last week it seemed like Jeff Seti kind of figured itself out a little bit more, which, you know, you're running a new offensive system, a lot of new faces are on the field, like it might just take a few weeks.
Right.
And so you get into week four, you get into the middle of the season, and you're kind of in that spot where guys are actually figuring it out.
Right.
All of those new faces are getting used to playing varsity football and, you know, kind of understanding what you're most capable of doing.
Yeah.
And being able to play to your strengths better. So right. That's kind of, I think, where Coach Collier is looking at it, is Jeff City's kind of in that point of figuring out what its strengths really are.
Yeah. So it's going to be weird tonight from the standpoint of, I think this game's always got energy around it. And it's always going to be kind of, you know, one of those games where you expect to see a lot of emotion. You expect to see, you know, amped up players. You expect to see everybody ready to go for this one. But, you know, even though it is the first time that Cap City is going to be hosting this rivalry, it's going to be a little bit different from the standpoint of you're just like, okay, I expect the facility to be filled. It's just a matter of, it's not like it's going to have one of those games where you've got, like, established program versus established program with years and years of alumni coming back for the big game. It's still a relatively newish, you know, alumni base for Cap City. So it's, and a lot of those are off of college right now. So it's like, I don't expect it to be empty on their side of the field. It's just I think in a couple more years from now, we may look at this game and go, okay, there's not a seat to be found at this place.
Yeah, I agree with the overall sentiment. You're not, you know, like you're saying, there's not a lot of people that you're bringing back for this at this point.
Sure.
Right. But I do think there's a pride factor to hosting for the first, like, really, truly hosting for the first time, right? Because Capital City has been the home team in these matchups before. It was just while Cap City was still playing its home games at Atkins.
Right.
So, you know, Jeff City just switched over to the other sideline.
Right.
This is the first true home game for Capital City in the short history of this rivalry.
Yeah.
And I do think there's a pride factor to saying, you know, came out strong the first time you hosted and showed that, you know, that it's really a rivalry. Because right now, Capital City's only has one win. It was a solid win, but, you know, you probably have to win a couple and have it kind of be a back-and-forth thing to really call it a rivalry.
Yeah. That you've seen the last couple of these meetings, and I feel like it's one of those where you go, okay, emotions are always going to be high in these games. And especially I feel like, you know, Trevor mentioned it in the Jays podcast that they've been a little chirpy the last couple of years with each other. So I guess as somebody who's seen the last couple installments of this, how much of tonight is this going to be a matter of who's able to, I don't know, maybe not get distracted by all the extra stuff tonight, and how far will that go to determining a victor tonight?
I do think that's a factor, and like we've talked about, that was an issue for Capital City against Battle, specifically.
Okay.
They were able to get kind of baited in to kind of all that extra stuff. Did a little bit, or not more than a little bit, did a much better job of it against Rockbridge, which I was expecting a little bit more from Rockbridge, just because of the way the game between Rockbridge and Jeff City played out the week before.
Right.
I kind of thought there would be some more chirpiness and after-the-play stuff, but there really wasn't that much for the Bruins. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it plays a major factor if you start getting 15-yard penalties every 5-10 plays, right?
So right.
It will definitely be important for the kids to stay focused and not kind of get baited into anything like that.
Yeah. Other than staying focused, playing clean, playing hard, is there maybe a key or two tonight that maybe Coach Collier said to you that this is what we need to do tonight to be victorious?
I think probably controlling the line of scrimmage.
Okay.
You know, that's obviously a big factor when you run a beer, and I mean both offensively and defensively. I think Capital City's in a pretty good position there just because of the amount of new faces on Jefferson City's lines on both sides.
Okay.
You know, and like I was saying, those kids are now 4 games into the season. They have some experience, but it's a little different versus Capital City, where you're bringing back multiple guys who have been playing on the offensive line for 3 years now, and the same with the defensive line, guys who have, you know, a lot of experience and a lot of talent at those spots. I think if the Cavaliers are able to control the line on both sides, they'll put themselves in a pretty good position.
Okay. Guess that gets us to the prediction point, and I'll just ask you who comes out on top tonight.
I'm going to go with Capital City.
Okay.
And I have a feeling Trevor picked 28-21.
He did.
So I'll go 35-21.
Just to be a little bold choice. All right. Well, that should do it for this week. For Kyle McArvey, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Kyle McArevey on Twitter at Kyle_McArevey, McArevey. Thanks for listening.